to Secondhand Film Critics, your favorite source for mildly pretentious, semi-uneducated, and highly unqualified opinions on movies. I'm Kayla, and I'm here with...
Noah.
And today, we are talking about The Quiet Place. I would die so quick. Literally, yeah, so quick. Too. There's no way.
Yeah, I would stub my toe or something.
Anything. It could be anything. Ending. Like, mm-hmm. I don't know. I laugh at things too much. I like saying things too loudly. Just there's so many reasons.
Yeah, doesn't sound too fun. Like, that's what I was watching this movie. Both of them. It's like, they're doing all this stuff to stay alive, but like, is it really worth it? At the end of the day, like,
no.
Is this like worth all the trouble to
nope.
be like, what do you even do?
Imagine if, this is what I was thinking about, Quiet Place combined with like a world where there's musical numbers because you just like spontaneously burst into song.
Oh,
and what if
man.
You're like, you know, oh, we're in the quiet place. And then all of a sudden you're like, boom, boom. In the quiet place, we're in the quiet place, and you're like, oh crap, not the musical number.
Why did we do that? That sounds like a good SNL sketch. That'd be really funny, actually.
Like a musical number just starting, and it's like, where's that music coming from? Oh no, not this again.
Classic. So today we're talking about the new film, A Quiet Place Part 2. Which, this has been a long episode in the making, because it was supposed to come out last March.
And it was on our list.
And
here we are.
Now we're talking about it. We actually weren't going to talk about it. So that's kind of ironic. Like, we took it off, and then we were like, actually, maybe we should talk about this now.
Yeah.
Because it's a lot bigger than I think. It wasn't even on my radar. Like, I didn't even remember it was coming out till like, a week before it came out. I just wasn't really thinking about it. I also didn't really love the first one.
I also didn't love the first one.
Wow, we're so contrarian. We're so cool like that, you
know? Yeah. Yeah, when the first one came out, at that point, I really wasn't watching any kind of horror thriller type films. And everyone mm-hmm. kept talking about it like, oh my gosh, this is the scariest movie of the decade. Oh, it's
oh
so crazy. It's so
gracious.
Scary. And there was all this hype surrounding this movie. And I was like, well, I got to go see it, even if it's scary. So a friend of mine, I was still in college when the first one came out. Mm-hmm. And a friend of mine, right? What year was that? Gosh.
2018.
Oh,
so
man.
3 years ago.
Yeah. So I was still in college, I guess. And my friend and I went and watched it. And it wasn't that scary. And it was a little...
It's literally the least scary movie
It was
of all
a little
time.
Underwhelming. I remember walking out of the theater and being like, huh. Like...
Yeah.
And that's not to say it's a bad movie, per se.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But I definitely did not rewatch the first one.
I did, just because I forgot the first one so much that I was like, I need to I literally forgot, like, half of the stuff that happened, because I feel like it's just so forgettable to me. Like, there's nothing that really sticks with me from the first one, and it just feels very bland.
Mm.
I don't know. Like, it feels like nothing really happens.
Yeah, I think
it's just
a very
not
average
my thing.
Movie.
Yeah, and I think maybe if I had watched it just, like, as a movie, maybe I would have enjoyed it more when I first saw it. Because
mm-hmm.
It was a fun theater experience. I think the first one definitely leans into, like, the quietness more.
Mm-hmm.
But I think because everyone was hyping it up so much, for me, that worked against the movie, because I was expecting it to be, I think, more than just a fun little kind of horror movie. I wouldn't even say it's horror, but yeah. So suffice to say, I was not like super excited for this movie.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't really planning on seeing it this early, but it's getting a lot of press, a lot of people talking about it, and also it's got the factor that it's reopening movie theaters. I mean, they were already open, but this has been like the one that people are pointing to, like, now movies
This was
are back.
The Tenet of the spring. Just kidding.
Yeah, right.
Because Tenet was
really...
This is
really what Christopher Nolan wanted.
Which, you know, if Tenet had waited, I think that it could have had as big of a reaction, if not bigger, as Quiet Place Part 2.
I agree.
But I also think that Quiet Place Part 2 is the perfect movie for a comeback because it's big, it's loud, it's a theater experience movie. This is not the kind of movie that you... I mean, you could watch it at home, but just because of the way the sound is, the way that it's a big blockbuster, it works better in a theater. And people are so desiring to go out into the theater, and then people are talking about it. It's only like 90 minutes, so...
Yeah, it's good length, good length. Yeah, I mean, I think Tenet kind of fulfills some of those requirements, but also this is a sequel to a very popular movie, so that also works in its favor. It's really funny, like, imagine in 2008, after The Dark Knight comes out, and you're like, you know, in 2021... Christopher Nolan isn't going to make the biggest movie of the year. It's going to be the guy in The Office. And they're like,
could you imagine? That would be, that is so funny. That is so true.
How times have changed, truly.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty wild. So what we'll do is we'll do, I don't know like how much we can talk about without spoiling. Like I would say if you really want nothing spoiled, just wait till you watch the movie to listen to this.
Yeah.
But we'll talk about, we'll try to like keep spoilers light. For the first half, and then we'll do some more heavy spoiler stuff later.
Yeah. Well, let's jump into it.
Jumping right in. Diving in.
Do we want to give a quick synopsis, maybe?
Yeah. Let me pull
one up here.
I'll
just say it off the top of my head.
Okay. We've got a live improv session
right
now.
Yeah, so basically, the first movie ends where Jim Halpert has died. I don't know what his name is. Lee in this movie.
That's one thing. I don't know any of their names.
There's Lee. Is
Marcus.
Him Marcus?
Because
I don't.
They
know.
Said Marcus's name at the end of the second one,
yeah,
and I was like,
I
wait, his name is
the
Marcus.
Baby's name.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Emily Blunt.
Girl's name.
Is in,
I
just I
know
call her Emily Blunt.
The actors' names.
I know the actors' names. Anyway, so Jim died.
Sorry. John Krasinski's character, the dad. Okay, so the world is quiet because there's these aliens.
I think they, well, let's assume they've seen the first one.
Yeah, okay, so, but it picks up where the dad has died,
yes.
The mom has the baby, and they're basically leaving their home, the barn's on fire, they're finding a new place to go. So she packs up the baby in this, like, box that they've created to help the baby breathe quietly. And
yeah,
then
so they
go down the road. And and then they find this warehouse. And there's this guy there who's played... Is his name Killian? I think... Is it Killian Murphy?
Killian Murphy. Yeah, he's Irish, so probably. Yeah.
Who... They didn't know other people were really alive. Well, I guess there was like this fire
they
that
they
saw.
Did, they
kind
of because
they
the fire.
I don't
remember the
did.
Fire from the first
one.
Yeah,
very vaguely. But basically, they find this other person in a warehouse, and they're like, we have a baby, we need help.
All right.
And
we probably should stop there because we don't want to give too
general,
much. Just
the general plot line.
That opens it. That's not really a spoiler, I wouldn't think. That's kind of like the exposition. Yeah, and I think a big thing, too, is at the end of the first one, they discover the Demogorgon ripoff creatures.
Yes.
They are, I guess it's like a type of white noise.
Yeah,
like
a
high-pitched
frequency, essentially.
Mm-hmm. And that makes them vulnerable, and then they can shoot them when they're in that state.
Which is
pretty much
nice, I guess.
Yeah, very convenient. So, yeah, that's pretty much the movie. I will say... my favorite part of this movie was actually before all that in the opening.
I thought the opening was very cool.
Opening sequence where it kind of gives like a little bit of a backstory to the whole thing where it doesn't give too much where it feels like a lot of boring alien exposition where like the aliens came.
Yeah, it's kind of just like what happened to them where like really it's interesting and all this is in the trailer so I feel like this isn't even a spoiler. Yeah, it's basically like a 12-minute sequence, 10 to 12-minute sequence of like the day that this started. And I thought that was an interesting way to explain it because it pretty much just shows us all that they know as well.
Right.
So it doesn't really give us any actual background of what happened, which I don't think they even know really what happened.
Yeah, which is, I think, good. Because it's kind very of just
shows
character.
Bits and pieces, like a TV screen with it happening in, I think it was maybe Tokyo or something first.
Yes.
And then they see kind of the same thing in the sky, like an alien ship. I don't really know. Yeah,
some
I mean,
fire
but,
in the sky.
But it's like yeah, I thought scary. That was a really interesting way to start because it establishes the story to their experience opposed to the viewer's experience. So it kind of puts you in their shoes a little more than it does as an audience member, I felt like.
Yeah, I think it definitely sets up to, I think this movie isn't really a horror movie. I think, like, they kind of dropped the horror for this one, and it's basically just a thriller, which I think was the right move. And so the opening is pretty, like, they show the monsters a lot, and it's basically just, like, the big attacks, and it's very loud, and they're chasing them. And it's fun, and to watch, I think it's a really cool, exciting sequence. So I think it opens the movie really well and sets a really nice tone. Yeah, I thought that was easily my favorite part. I mean, I liked other parts of the movie, but that was like...
Yeah, it was a really put together sequence.
Yeah, and I think his directing has improved so much since the first one.
I liked this movie considerably more than the first one.
Yeah, I wouldn't say like considerably might be putting it a little much, but I definitely enjoyed this more than the first.
Mm-hmm. I still had issues, which we can talk about, plot holes and stuff that I was like, meh. But I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, I thought it was, like I said, the directing was a lot better. There was a lot of cool like camera movement stuff where they placed the camera in interesting places for some of the shots. So it was just interesting watching it from that perspective. And also, I think the Cillian Murphy character was a good addition.
He was way better than John Krasinski's character.
Yeah, I think the first movie was kind of missing that kind of dynamic because these are very character-based stories. Even though they're like alien invasion movies, they're kind of smaller. They feel smaller scale. And so I think like of the group of characters in the first one, he provides like another element that was kind of missing. To the dynamic, and so I think he really brought it to a different level, and was probably like my favorite performance. I mean, I liked the kid performances a lot, but I think his performance was the most like well-rounded, and he had to do the most things. Yeah, so I really liked the addition of him as well, especially with his introduction in the beginning. I was like, wow. I mean, this movie does some very heavy-handed foreshadowing, but, like, it's not the foreshadowing that I hate.
Yeah, I think it worked for this movie. And I think the way they did it was very clever, which I don't think it's a spoiler to say this, but, like, this guy basically used to be the dad's best friend, is essentially the way that it's...
Or one of their friends, yeah.
Yeah, like it seems like they're a pretty close family friend. You know, their kids are the same ages.
They
play on the same baseball team, like the kids do.
Yeah, so I think he was a good addition, for sure. Trying to think of, like, other spoiler-free elements.
Well, do you want to talk about seeing it in a theater?
Yeah, we can talk about that. I think we can also talk about the performances a little bit, too. Yeah.
I think that would be good. And then we can kind of wrap up that section with those things.
Yeah. So this was not your first theater experience since the pandemic, but it's a little bit different. So you can
to a theater, the Alamo, which I've said before, which had very limited capacities. Super socially distanced. You had to wear a mask the whole time in the theater. And now I'm vaccinated fully. So I go to see this movie, an advanced screening at the Alamo. And I was thinking I know someone gifted me the tickets and I was very grateful. This is the first movie I saw since President Joseph Biden announced that people don't have to wear masks anymore if they're vaccinated. There's a level of not knowing whether or not people have been vaccinated who are not wearing masks. There were a lot of people there without masks, And that made me personally very uncomfortable, even though I was vaccinated and I was wearing a mask. Because that was just the first time I've been in a closed space with people without masks on. And so that was a little bit nerve-wracking. I did also end up going and seeing Cruella a week later or a few days later at an AMC, and I was the only person in the theater, and that made me feel a lot better.
It's what Cruella would have really wanted, honestly.
Yeah.
I think she would have approved.
But how was it for you? Because this is your first time that you even saw a movie in the theater since pre-pandemic.
Truly, my last one was Portrait of a Lady on Fire, which this was definitely a switch up from that. But yeah, so I went to a Regal, so again, like an AMC, like a pretty big chain theater, and I am also fully vaccinated. This was actually like the day that I was, like,
you're
that's
two
why
weeks out.
It was just very exciting. It was like my celebration. But yeah, there was not, I mean, obviously I can't see everyone because the rows. But everyone I could see was not wearing masks, which, like, it was weird. I don't know if I fully was thinking about it, like, because I was trying to pay attention to the movie, but it was definitely weird, especially, like you said, this is the first time I was in, like, a closed space with a bunch of, like, people I don't know. And so that definitely was just a bit weird to get used to. But other than that, I pretty much fell into, like, the old theater habits, you know? I put my phone away because I knew I would be even more tempted to look at it than I usually am because we've been on our phones like so much more recently.
I'm not going to lie. I was on my phone when I was watching Cruella because I was the only person in the theater.
Well, you're the only one there.
So I was like, I feel like I can text.
You're just vibing.
And I can live tweet. So that is what I did.
That's fine. I approve of that.
But I definitely wouldn't have done that if there were other people there.
Of course. Of course. Yeah. So it was weird. But it was like when I was just focusing on the movie, I had a fun time.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the biggest thing, obviously, that makes a difference is the sound. Because I have like a nice TV. So it's like it's not like I'm totally missing out on a picture quality thing. But the sound definitely makes a difference and is like the first thing I kind of noticed that just was something I hadn't experienced in like over a year was just the immersive experience of the sound, especially in a movie like this where the sound matters more than maybe just like Lady Bird or something. I don't know. So yeah, it was fun though. I'm excited to keep going. There's a lot of fun movies coming out this year. And yeah, movies are fun.
Movie is fun! Exclamation point!
Wow. But before we wrap up the spoiler-free section, you have, I think, some thoughts about definitely the child actor performances. But I think we could touch on, like...
Yeah, did you see that I added them into the document?
You truly did. You did. So, yeah, what do you think about that? Because I think they were good in the first one. But again, it's like, I don't know if they had as much to do in the first one either.
Yeah, in the first one, you know, the mom and the dad were pretty much the protagonists. And essentially this one, Millicent, who plays the daughter, or Millie, I think she goes by, she is the protagonist, her character in this one. And then Noah Jupe's character, the younger brother, he is essentially the next leading, apart from like Cillian Murphy. Really, these two characters lead both of the different storylines that are laced into it. And I think that's a lot of weight for them to be carrying on their shoulders, because at the time that they filmed this, she was only 16 and he was only 14. And just had these really standout dramatic performances, I thought, personally. Some really impressive sequences by the both of them. We can get into spoilers on that in the next section. But just really, really good acting. Like, I hope that... I mean, obviously, Noah Jupe is one of the rising young actors of this time now.
Everything I've seen him in, he's just, like, outstanding.
Yeah, I would there's say. Nothing that I've seen him in that he does a bad job in. Like, he's right. had standout roles, supporting roles, and a leading role in Honey Boy. But him and Jacob Tremblay, who I'll also talk about, because I have something to talk about in the next section.
Okay.
Anyway, but they're just really impressive, I hope. So, Millie is a deaf actor. She uses sign language in this movie. I know a lot of the sequences as well, where you're kind of put into her head in both this movie and the first movie. John Krasinski really built those sequences around her and her input and thoughts. So I think that's really cool, because I think she played a pretty big role in telling some of the sound areas of this story in this world. And it's really cool that her, you know, deafness is not seen as a bad thing at all. Like, it gives her an advantage. It's almost like a superpower against these creatures, which I think is really awesome. And she just, like, does a really, really good job.
Yeah, she's great. And I really do like the sequences where they put her in her perspective. They did this a lot in Sound of Metal last year, which was, like, another movie that had a deaf protagonist, and they did a lot of stuff cool, obviously, with the sound there and putting you in his perspective and his shoes. But this is obviously different because it's more of like the thriller aspect, and movies have done this all the time where you're watching like the villain or the creature or the monster, but the character doesn't know that they're about to be attacked or one of those things, so kind of like a dramatic irony situation. But I think this one is a lot even more immersive because they cut the sound. And so it really gets you in the character's headspace even more. I think she did a great job. I think Noah did a great job. And I think like Emily Blunt and Cillian Murphy also, like I already talked about him.
They did a really good job as well. And it's one thing that's unfortunate is that none of these people will likely get any awards talk at all. Despite them being what I think is, I think her performance especially is at the caliber of, you know, award-winning performances. I think even Noah Jupe or Cillian Murphy, you know, as of right now, could get talk of being a supporting performance. But because this kind of movie is never considered, I don't know that it would be, but, you know.
Yeah, unfortunately. Yeah, it's really, yeah, these kind of movies just don't get that attention. If anything, I would have think the first one would have had the best chance of getting any nominations, because I think the first one was more of like a phenomenon, I guess. I don't know if this one is being taken in as serious a way, which is ironic because I think this one is better than the first.
In all aspects.
Anything else to say before we move on to
the let's get spoiler? Into some spoilers.
Okay spoiler time. So if you don't want to hear spoilers, I can put a timestamp in if you'd really want to hear the outro, but there's really not gonna be much in the outro, so you could just pause it and then come back when you've seen the movie. So there is a lot of stuff in this. I think they do a really good job of expanding the world, but not doing it too much, so it becomes like a bunch of exposition, which I think is really good, because the first one's obviously so contained, and so this one kind of slowly peels back the layers with Cillian Murphy, and then you have like the water people, I guess.
Yeah, which is really interesting. I have a note about that, too.
Water people definitely didn't totally work for me.
It just doesn't make any sense. Like, I mean, like, in the sense that it was just made it a little bit more confusing for me to have the water people. Because I was like, who are these people? How have they... Are they eating... Like, are they just kidnapping her to kidnap her? Are they going to...
Think they were gonna eat her.
What I was thinking, but like that's not super clear. So I was like, how many people are these people actually eating? Like, how often does this trap work? Like, how long have they been living?
Trap is very elaborate.
Like, I just had a lot of questions.
Because he does drop the line again. A lot of foreshadowing. That's very heavy. But the line kind of early on where he's like, most people that are around now aren't the kind of people you'd want to hang out with or like that. So obviously there's kind of like these people that are in the world that have kind of gone off the deep end, I guess. So I think this is supposed to be the one of those kind of groups of people. But yeah, it felt a little out
of place. Yeah, like it just felt a little off for everything else that was going on in the movie, because I think when they find the group of people on the island, it almost lessens the magnitude of that, because you already found out that there's another group of people. Those people turned out to be bad. And so when they got to the island, it was less, I mean, obviously they're having a good life or what, you know, making a good life for themselves. I gotta say,
it looked good. It looked a little culty to me.
It did look a little culty.
Got some weird vibes. You know.
But I was like, oh, okay. We already knew, like, the reveal wasn't as much as I thought that it could have been, just because we had already seen this other group of people.
Yeah, that's a good point, because like up until now we've only seen six people like in the apocalypse world.
Mm-hmm.
And so all of a sudden it's like, okay, now we've got the water people. It definitely makes the island reveal feel less like relieving or just like exciting. Like, oh my gosh, there's people. Yeah, and I don't really think I don't know if, obviously, there's the, with the, I keep calling them Demogorgons, they're not, I don't know what they're called, they look like
Demogorgons.
They really do, but when one of them gets on the island, that's kind of ties back to the water people, but I think they could have done it in a different way and just cut that sequence pretty much completely.
Yeah, or done it differently, maybe. I don't really know, I'm not a fixer, so I don't know.
Also, how does the hearing aid still work after it was submerged in water?
I don't know.
Because he had it. I don't think it would work anymore.
Put it in his mouth. He put it in his mouth, remember?
Wow, he's much smarter than me.
He seemed like a smart dude.
He was a smart dude. You know who wasn't the smart dude was Noah Jupe's character, Marcus.
He's a child, though.
I don't care. I just wanted them to, I wish they had, like, cut in, like, a noise or something. Because there was, felt like there was zero reason for him to go up, like, to leave the cave thing. And so it just made it very frustrating, like, because half of the story wouldn't have even happened if he had not gone up there. So I wish they had given like a little bit, like he hears a sound or something.
At least gave him some more form of motivation.
Because it was kind of like he was just bored. That's what it felt like. He was bored. He was like, I guess I'll go, because I think originally
he was like trying to look out for his mother. But then that wasn't super clear, because then he looked and then he's just like walking around the hallway. And I was like, boy. And he like can't even really walk right now either. So I was like,
bad calls. Yeah. So that was one of my bigger complaints, was it's not necessarily a plot hole, but it just felt like not very earned, especially considering how big of a role it played. Events leading to the ending. What did you think about the ending, which obviously is like basically the first ending, but just like heightened?
I liked it better than the first one. I liked the way that they built the sibling relationship between the two kids. And I love that, like, you know, his comfort was essentially putting on this radio because he knew he was listening for his sister, essentially. And obviously it's like, oh gosh, it happened right at the right time, blah, blah, blah. They were about to die.
Perfect.
But I really liked how they mirrored each other in the scenes.
Yeah.
I thought that was great. It was my favorite sequence of the movie. I was like, it was making me emotional. I just was like, it was so much more emotional than the first one. And I think part of that too is because in the first one, they really are children and they essentially, you know, they're terrified. They watch their dad die in front of them. He sacrifices himself for them. And, you know, that changes them. And Noah Jupe, even through the whole beginning of the movie, like, he's going through this character arc of being like, I don't want to be responsible. I want to be with my mom. Like, I'm scared. I'm in pain. And then he's the one that's protecting her. And then Millicent's character is like, you know, this other guy, Killian's character, had been escorting her and like protecting her. But then she was the one that saved him. And I was like, oh my gosh, how powerful is she? I love their dynamic
also.
But yeah, I just thought like, I thought it was a great ending. I don't know how you felt, but I loved the ending.
Yeah, I think I hated the ending of the first one, mostly because when I first saw it, I mean, I don't think anyone knew there was going to be a sequel. And so it feels just so abrupt.
Mm-hmm.
Even watching it again, like even when I knew it was coming, I think the first one is not paced well at all. Mm-hmm. Like it just ends. And so I think this one is definitely paced better. And I was also kind of expecting it more throughout the entire story. And so when it came, it wasn't as much of a like, why are we cutting to why the movie? It's already over. But I also do think it earned it a lot better because I think the, like you said, the kids are the main characters of the movie. And so it's like the completion of both their like little arcs, essentially.
Yeah.
And whereas with the first one, it was more just like, oh, cool reveal. It's the hearing aid is the cure to the monsters. Yeah, the first one just was more of like a kind of fun reveal kind of thing. Whereas this one was more of an emotional thing. It was more tied up in the emotions of the actions.
Yeah.
So I definitely liked it better. And it made me excited for like the next one, because I'm assuming there's gonna be a next one. It was just announced yesterday. I think though, like, they knew there was gonna be a next one because the first one
had a good idea for sure.
Yeah, which makes sense then why they would have wanted to push this till theaters were open, because I think it still relied on it doing well.
Mm-hmm.
So they probably wanted it to do well so they could get the money for the next one.
Yeah.
I thought I had one thing to say.
I have a couple things. One thing I mentioned before that I wanted to talk about is there's this scene where Noah Jupe's character, Marcus, steps in this like bear trap.
Tough beat.
It was very reminiscent to me. So in Dr. Sleep, Jacob Tremblay, and they're kind of the two young like male actors right now.
Yeah, they're going at it.
That I'm like, Oscar. Like
they were both in Wonder, right?
Yep, they both were in Wonder together. And that was kind of Noah Jupe's breakout, I think. Jacob Tremblay was in Room, obviously. And then Jacob Tremblay did this scene in Dr. Sleep where these vampire creatures kidnapped him and tortured him and basically, like, ate him alive.
Wow.
And it was, like, it was such a traumatic performance by him that, like, they had to cut most of it out of the movie because they were, like, it is too traumatized. Like, he's too good of an actor. And even, like, the lady who was, like, eating his soul and, like, torturing him was, like, so overwhelmed, like, she couldn't even, people couldn't even handle being on set with that scene because of how good he did. And this scene fell the same caliber of performance to me. Like, when he stepped in this trap and he's just, like, in agony and has completely lost his head. Because his mom is being like, baby, I need you to be quiet. Like,
yeah, you need to shut up right now.
And he's just like screaming his head off. And I just was like, oh my gosh, this poor child like has been through it all. And now this poor baby stepped in this trap.
He stepped in a bear trap.
And I just was like so sad for him. And like, I mean, he killed that. I just was like, I felt like he was in pain, and I was like, this poor child, and I was like, he's acting, it's okay, he's acting.
Yeah, he did a good job in that scene, especially. I also think he did good with when they were what was that? It was like a little safe kind of thing when they were running out of oxygen.
Yeah, and he was giving it to the baby and then trying to keep some for himself as well.
Yeah.
Oh, God. That was the only scene
that got me. Because yeah. The only thing that scares me is claustrophobia. Like, I mean, claustrophobia.
That's me, too.
That's the only thing that gets me. Like, Kill Bill Volume 2, there's a scene where she's buried alive and she has to, like,
can't do it.
Get out.
Can't
and
do it.
They shoot it. They put a camera, like, in the coffin.
Nope.
And so
that
it's
is, like,
so
my
tight.
Worst fear, being buried alive.
It literally is. And so she have her, like, yeah. So that was definitely, like, the most stressful
part
for me.
Yeah, that scene stressed me out, too. And, like, I knew that he, like, because I was like, they're not going to kill off one of the kids because that would just be too awful. And so I just was like, I knew he was going to be okay. But yeah, I still was like, I can't
breathe.
Well, just
imagining if I was in that situation and like what I would do. Well, you can't do anything, which is really the tough part.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, the other thing that I thought was really interesting that I appreciated was essentially, so Lee was the character, the dad's character. And then we have this other guy, Killian Murphy, who's pretty much the complete opposite of Lee's character. And like has lost hope. His family's died, his wife died, his son died, and he is essentially just, like, living by himself. Like, there's no hope in the world, there's no hope in other people. And on the opposite side, Lee and his family, they were people that were full of hope, you know? They brought a baby into this world that was very dangerous. They were taking care of
honestly,
their kids.
I still don't know if that was a good call. I still don't stand by that decision.
I have questions about that.
Well, how did they have sex?
I don't know. That's one of my questions,
lots of questions.
I don't know the timeline, but I was like, were they pregnant before? Like,
it was like 400 days, so
okay,
they had to have gotten pregnant during.
Okay, interesting. Anyway, but just this balance of like seeing characters in this world that had hope, and then seeing characters in this world that had no hope, and seeing his character arc essentially transform from having no hope to essentially being around these children, and really Millie's character changing his trajectory of the world because he like was helping her, who she was full of hope in following this radio signal. So I thought that was a really cool element that was added as well to this one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's it. Like I said, it kind of gives you a wider perspective than the first movie had. The only I didn't remember. So the only thing I wanted to say, my biggest issue with the movie, is so as a refresher, the main movie gets thrust forward when they hear the what's the song. Somewhere beyond the sea.
Yeah, some boat thing.
Yeah, sea, it's somewhere boat. Beyond the sea. Yeah, I think it's in a Pixar movie. But they hear that one on the radio. And he's like, yeah, it's been playing for months and it's not a thing. And so basically she finds out that it's really people communicating from this island that are like, so it's somewhere beyond the sea. They're on an island. It's like, that's where they are. Why didn't they just broadcast a signal that said, guys, we're on this island
in New York. I think it's so here's my theory to answer this question.
Okay, because it just doesn't make sense. Why
I do
being
think
so cryptic?
It's also dumb, but my theory is that it brings the people that are the good people. So the people that would be looking for it for the right reasons would be the ones to find it.
So they think that the bad people are stupid?
I mean,
that's the one thing. It's like, I mean, bad people can be smart.
I think it's about the hope. That's what I think it's about.
It's about the
Because Killian Murphy's character heard it and he had no hope and he was like, it's just this dumb thing that's been repeating, but Millie's character believed there were good people out there. So when she heard it, she was like, no, it's a signal. But that, like, I mean, that's a weak explanation. But that's much the only explanation that I have is, like, if these boat people had heard it and they're, like, right there, they wouldn't do anything about it. But if they heard something that's, like, there's people on this island at these coordinates, they'd be like, let's go eat those bitches. Like,
that would have been a good movie, actually. That would have been pretty fun.
But I also, I think it also is not the best way to get people to the island at the same time. Like,
but it also, it doesn't ruin the movie for me because I only thought of that more after the fact.
Yeah.
So it works, I think, movie logically with the hope thing. So like having hope equals being able like to get this reward, I guess. But like logically, it's like having hope doesn't equal being smart or thinking critically, but it works, I think, in the context of the movie.
Yeah.
And like the themes.
Mm-hmm. I'll share one of the bigger problems that I had, or problems that I thought of while I was watching it. Mm-hmm. Like while I was in the theater, was how much score there was in this.
Yeah, same thing with the first one.
Because it's been a while since I've seen the first one, 3 years. But there were a couple scenes that were very dramatic scenes, and I felt like they would have been more dramatic if we were in the silence with them, opposed to having this score kind of pushing these dramatic moments. I do think the score works for some scenes, but some of, there was, I don't remember which scene it was specifically. Maybe it was the scene where she was in the train. I don't know if it was that scene, but it was a scene similar to that, where it was like a very tense moment, and you kind of are like breathing with the character, like, oh gosh, like you gotta be quiet, you gotta be quiet. And I almost feel like it would have heightened the suspense if you were sitting in the silence with that character and only hearing the creature.
For sure.
I kind of was like, I don't know. I think the score worked in some stuff, but I do think they would have lessened their use of the score in other areas.
Yeah, I definitely had less of an issue with it this time just because there were less of the suspenseful moments. Mm-hmm. But it was an issue for both for me.
Yeah, I don't remember even thinking that in the first one.
Yeah, I just don't think the score even is that good. Like, I think there's one good song that I really do like. I don't obviously know what it's called, but it's one of the, like, it's not really the suspenseful one. It's like a more like emotional kind of, like, it might even be the main quote unquote theme.
I think that's the one that I
like. Where, like, there's like it's like a very dark opening, but then like there's this low bass that plays that turns it into like this happier feeling or major chord. So that was good. But all like the tense stuff was just very basic, like light, like strings, some piano,
and then the like swells that come in when the dramatic moment happens. Yeah. I mean, I think the score works really well, like, you know, in the end sequence where there's this emotional buildup where they're defeating the creatures
emotional moments.
And you're like, let's go, bring on the orchestra, woo, woo, woo. But then it's like in the other sequences. Yeah.
I need the suspense. And I didn't get it.
But really, that's like all my thoughts, honestly.
That's really all. Yeah. It's honestly like the thing is, it's not like I have like so many issues with it. It's just not like.
Amazing.
It's not amazing, right? It's just
like
fun.
It's not mind blowing or something like that. And sure, like if you break down the plot and whatever and the conflict, you're like, oh, maybe this doesn't work. I don't understand how this works in the world. But I just don't think it's that kind of movie.
Yeah, and it does a good job of not having you think of that either.
Yeah, like until I'm sitting down and really thinking about the movie, I'm not like, oh, I had an issue with this and what the heck about this. Like, I have questions about the way the sound works, the way the creatures work and stuff like that, that I just think is interesting when you're like looking on it retrospectively. But in the moment, like when I finished it, I think I probably even texted you and I was like, that was such a fun time. I love that. Like, I'm so glad I went. Like, what a great, you know, movie to open the theaters, like what an experience. And
great
I'm
to be back at the movies.
I'm also just really glad that, because I know that a lot of people with this movie especially were like, oh, why are you pushing it back? Why are you pushing it back? Like, just release it. It's not gonna be like this major blockbuster compared to, you know, something else. But I think that they made the right decision. I'm so glad that I saw this in the theater and not, like, you know, on my MacBook. Like,
oh my god. David Lynch has just died. He just completely rolled over. He's done. Oh man. So I already said I'm excited for the sequel. I'm assuming you're probably.
Yeah. I mean, it's not like on my watch list, but like when the sequel comes out, will I watch the teaser trailer and be like, probably tweet something like, "Ooh, this is going to be fun, guys." Yeah.
I hope they end it with that one because I think it'd make a great trilogy, but I don't think the concept is strong enough to make like an anthology kind of thing.
Yeah. It's hard to tell. I mean, unless they have something really creative and unique up their sleeve.
Yeah, because I think what makes them good is the confinement of the stories and like how focused the narratives are. So I think if they got too wide scale with it and it was like a global apocalypse movie, I don't think it would work. Because I think that's like the least interesting part of the movie for me.
Do you think that they'll make it focusing on their family?
Like the
same
third one?
Yeah, like are they making it with the same characters?
I think so. Okay. Yeah, I think it's probably going to pick up right where it left off. I'm assuming
where Cillian Murphy has to go back and get the baby and the mom and
yeah, they'll probably have to find a way to like get the sound really loud and it will like they'll find the nest and they'll like blasted at the nest or something and
yeah
drop
I was wondering like how they would like do they set up like speakers and like blast
yeah,
like it out of New
amps.
York of this
yeah
I don't know, it'll be interesting to see what they do. I for one am fine with having Cillian Murphy in another film like this because he's very hot in this one, so I'm like, give us more of rugged Cillian Murphy, please. I'll take him over John Krasinski any day. sorry, John.
I mean, he's just a little more interesting. He's just like
his character definitely had more depth to him.
Yeah, John Krasinski's character just felt like regular white dad, like, you know.
Yeah.
No, there was no interest in.
Yeah, yeah. I get what you mean. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I think he's not like an amazing actor. I think
John
he's
Krasinski.
Good in like The Office.
He's fine
like,
in
that's what he's good at.
What's that show he's in? Jack Ryan. I think he's good in that.
Oh, I saw like the first episode. I just don't like
I watched
kind of
the
show,
first season. So. I don't really like it. My dad loves it.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Anyway.
So, yeah, that's all my thoughts on this movie.
That's
I would
I'm
say
at.
If you feel comfortable and you're vaccinated, I would go see it.
Yeah.
Because it's a fun movie.
I would definitely recommend seeing this.
I would
in
definitely
a
see the first one though first because I think it assumes you've seen the first
yeah,
one.
Yeah, I think that you don't have to see the first one. I think it could still like give its own, but I do think it would give you more background if you wanted to understand the characters more to see the first one. But I think you could watch it without seeing the first one. But it would be a better experience if
yes.
you watched the first one.
Much better. I liked how they did the backstory, but obviously the characters are they older. So Noah Jupe looks like so much older than he did in the first movie.
Yeah.
But he's like, this is the prequel. Like, he's a lot older right now.
Yeah.
Notice they don't have him talking too much.
Yeah, because his voice is a lot deeper.
They
too.
They did the sign language because they were like, we can't have him talk till Noah's voice is deeper. Okay. Yeah, that's all I gotta say. Fun times.
Yeah, if you see it, let us know your thoughts. You can email us secondhandfilmcritics@gmail.com.
Yeah, and we will maybe read your email in the next episode.
Yeah, if it comes in before we record the next episode.
Right. Well, we're recording pretty late because what is our next episode?
Our next episode is a review on another new movie, two back-to-back. How crazy is that? We'll be talking about a musical, the musical in the Heights. I'm pretty excited about this one. I have liked the Broadway show, you know, listened to it after being like, oh my god, Hamilton, and then listened in the Heights as well. So I'm excited for this one.
Is he singing a lot in this one?
No, like, he's like a random character.
Oh, thank God. Okay, good. I was so worried. Fantastic. That's great to hear.
No, I think he's only like some random kind of like cameo. So he cameo probably thing? Sings, I don't know, but probably like a line or something.
Okay. I can handle a line. You can also follow us to keep up to date on all the Secondhand Film Critic news. All the social media platforms, just search Secondhand Film Critics. You can find us there. Also, leave us a review on Apple Podcasts because we love reviews. 5-star reviews specifically are our favorite.
Yep.
Yeah. Anything else to add?
No, that's all.
Well, until next time, I'm Noah.
And I'm Kayla.
And we're your second.